May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. What a wonderful act of fellowship this morning when Tanya invited us to come forward together as a body and light the candle in commemoration for our late Queen. Whilst it's a sad occasion, one sensed that unity, that corporate unity in being able to acknowledge and pay respect together. This morning in the first reading in the book of Acts, we're actually told of the formation of the infant church. We know that following Pentecost, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter had his first evangelistic sermon. 3,000 people came from afar. They were baptized, they repented, baptized, and joined the first Christian community in Jerusalem. And growth followed. What's important is what also happened next, because that early church community looked like really a model to us in lots of ways, a divine template. The hallmarks of that early church, as we heard in Scripture this morning in verses 42 to 49, was that there was teaching, there was fellowship and gathering together, and people were glad to be together. There was prayer, and there was the breaking of bread, the Eucharist. But especially important amongst that, and integral to that, was the fellowship, the coming of people together to share that. In fact, they're not insignificant activities, they are indeed essential acts of Christian life. So this morning I just want to focus on that notion of fellowship. And it's not a word that often used in a secular sense outside the church. It is used in some groups, but it's a concept that's used, fellowship, many times in Scripture, as we'll see later. Now, the biblical meaning of fellowship, as denoted in the New Testament, koinonia, occurs when spiritual shared values are in place. Spiritual values. And what happens when spiritual values are in place? It produces mutual cooperation. People working together in God's worship, as we're doing this morning, God's works, and God's will being done on earth. It's interesting and intentional that the notion of fellowship is actually included in our recent mission action plan that Tanya referred to earlier. It's the fifth strategy or goal that we have in this church. And there's actually strategies and actions that have been considered to enact that notion of fellowship. Activities when we can come together as a group. Now, you might say that we all come together as friends, but fellowship is so much more than that. Our relationships go beyond friendship and mere association. In fact, we have become brothers and sisters in the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're capable of developing a degree of spiritual closeness that far surpasses just natural human friendships. Friendships and activities are often based on common likes and dislikes. We join a social activity because perhaps we like the people that go there, or we like the action that we're doing. Whereas I mentioned, fellowship is based on a common identity and belief. And we actually just said them together before, the Apostles' Creed. are also our shared values we have of faith, prayer, worship, the preaching of Scripture and Eucharist. And they're important because they imitate that infant church that I just referred to. We heard in the reading this morning from Apostle, that Apostle John talks to us about Christian life as being fellowship with the Father and the Son. So our relationship with the Father and the Son. And John testified that because he had heard and seen and touched Christ, that he can legitimately claim and proclaim that Jesus was truly divine and truly human. And John proclaimed that those listening to him, that those that were listening to John, can not only have fellowship with the disciples, but like them, they can have fellowship with God. What John was doing was giving an exhortation and encouragement that we can have the same relationship and fellowship with the Father and his Son. I mean, how wonderful is that? So as Christians, what we have is a common faith, a mutual bond in Jesus Christ, and we're almost sort of glued together. It's our faith in Jesus Christ and our values that bond us together. And what that does is bring us into a deeper knowledge of Christ, and we grow to spiritual maturity. So I suppose there are those that could say, well, why is Christian fellowship so important? You know, why is that gathering together of like-minded people so important? And I would also remind us that gatherings and fellowship can take different forms. They can be large like this, or they can be small. We have a small Bible study group that's commenced on a Friday. There's just 7 or 8 of us, and it's small, but it's intimate. But we share fellowship and learn of Christ. We read the Scriptures. We pray. So Christian fellowship can offer support. If it's large or small, it can be just 2 people, but it's important. So our regular gatherings of fellowship are important because, A, they are scriptural. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves." And we are told in the gospel, in the reading for Max this morning, that believers continued, so it was ongoing, and they came together, so it was corporate, of one accord. They were unified. It's a divine template for God's people. Another reason it's fellowship is essential is that fellowship, as Tanya referred to, brings unity. We are unified, underpinned by our spiritual beliefs and values. Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 4, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Not make some effort, make every effort. Fellowship's important because we use our talents. We're all talented in different ways. But we do that to build up the church. If we were isolated, we couldn't do it. We come together and we build up the church. Another reason that fellowship is important is it encourages good works, a richness in relationships. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, the writer tells us, "Therefore, encourage one another and build another up, just as you are doing in fellowship." We have the capacity to build each other up, encourage each other. We're also told not to, in Hebrews 10, not to neglect meeting together. Fellowship also helps express filial love to one another. John 13:35 says, "By this Well, you know, all men know that you are disciples if you have love one for another. And again, Colossians 2 says, be encouraged, be knit in love. So in fellowship, we have the capacity to encourage and care for one another. In Galatians, we are told, bear each other's burdens and to fulfill the law of Christ. When we are in fellowship, there is a capacity, if one of us is hurting or at a disadvantage, the others or others, other brothers or sisters, build them up, encouragement, assist them, help them. We see this so often in this church here, and it is just so affirming, as Tanya said before. In fellowship, we've got the ability to pray together. How much more encouragement when one is down and another can pray for them? Fellowship facilitates spiritual growth. To be where we can hear the word of God, discern, the Spirit helps us discern the richness of the gospel of the scripture. So we have a capacity when we are together to have spiritual growth and grow to maturity as Christians, and not just stay on what the milk, which is scriptural, not stay as babes in scripture, but we have the capacity to grow. And one of the wonderful things about fellowship is there's a sense of connectedness, of belonging, of a richness, a rich tapestry of relationship. Importantly, our gatherings can facilitate, as I said, encouragement and gladness and joy. I saw some people today whom I haven't seen for a while as we came in. COVID is a dreadful distance maker. I was so glad and so happy to see those people whom I haven't seen for a while. And I'm sure you are all the same. There's gladness and joy and happiness when the body is together. Fellowship, and I've got a lot more and I'm not going to share them with you due to time, but fellowship is also important for corporate governance of a church. A church, and that's another of our sixth pillar, governance. Governance of the church can only happen when there is discernment in the governing and the regulations and the coming together and the makeup of the church, the organisation of the church. That is done by members of the church coming together, that's in the parish council. That can only happen when people are together, people of God are together and exercise that authority. So to put it quite bluntly, if we are to grow spiritually as the body of Christ, we need to be relationally present and engaged. So many aspects of our spiritual fellowship depends on us being together, as I've said in those word notions of encouragement and serving and so forth. Now, many do not recognise the importance of fellowship, and a question is often asked, why do people neglect fellowshipping? And there's a lot of legitimate reasons. COVID, a legalistic reason, has been a horror for a number of years. So obviously we can't worship together, we can do it over Zoom and so forth, but that's not the same as coming together. There are other reasons. There may be logistics, there may be distance. But there are if someone decides they don't need fellowship and they will do it on their own, what they are actually doing is embracing a false substitute. They are adopting a model of Christianity that's actually individualistic rather than familial or communal, as the scriptures told us. We were given a divine template, and part of it was, as in Acts, is gathering together, being together. So let's face it, at times fellowshipping, it does take effort. It can take time. It can take prioritising. There may be busyness or other duties. But it requires purposeful association with our brothers and sisters. But when we do have fellowship, we are generally gladdened and joyful and generally happy to be with like-minded others and share the things of God. So the actual physical gatherings of the church people are the essential God-ordained means for believers to have their faith in God's promise strengthened. A means, as I mentioned, of growing into spiritual maturity. So in conclusion, we are more than just friends. We have a deeper association because we are united, as Tanya mentioned earlier. We're united in our spiritual beliefs and values. We have fellowship with God the Father and the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. So our gatherings, friends, is vital. Because to have fellowship is to be blessed with grace and spiritual maturity. To have fellowship is to be able to give glory to God in a corporate manner. To have fellowship, we must be together and relational. It is scriptural. And to have fellowship, we share together in the things of God. So in ending, I would invite us to pray together from Scripture, from 2 Corinthians 13:14, and it is the grace. And I would invite you as you do this to look at people on both sides of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.